Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are live right now so you can be a part of the broadcast, so you can pose your question or seek direction for the tough issues of real life. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now on our new call-in number. That number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC, or the full number, 844-322-2742. If you can get something to write down the number, keep it handy because this is a permanent call-in number, 844-32-BASIC or 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, of course, and the Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It intersects with your life every day. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Jesus Christ is alive. That's the good news of the gospel. And I think that's particularly important for us to understand when it comes to emotional baggage. A lot of times we feel alone. We feel isolated. We may be experiencing all kinds of adverse circumstances. We're fearful. We're anxious. We're angry. But in the midst of that, we also feel isolated. We feel disconnected from other humans. We feel disconnected from God. But the fact that Jesus Christ is alive means something to us, especially in those particular times. Here's what Paul had to say in Colossians chapter 1, and this was a significant passage in my own journey with Christ. It was a passage that really helped me rise above the circumstances that I was going through at a very difficult time in my life. And here's what Paul had to say. He's talking about Christ and his ministry, and then he says this: to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus was raised to life. He ascended into heaven. And then when we are raised to life, when we are made alive with Jesus Christ, Jesus sends his Spirit to live inside of us. Jesus takes up residence in our hearts. So when we're down in the dumps, when we're in the darkest moments of life, we're not alone. Jesus Christ is right there with us. And that's truth that can start us down the right path of experiencing freedom, can lead us out of that darkness and into the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. Yeah. So Jesus is there with us. Take comfort in that. Rejoice in the fact that Christ is in you and he is your hope of glory.
Absolutely. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Calls beginning to come in, but still plenty of room for you. If you call right now, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC, or the full number, 844-322-2742. That full number again, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go and talk with our friend Saab in England. Hi, Saab.
Hey, Saab.
Hi, guys. Thank you. God bless you again, guys.
Boy, you just sound again like you're right in the studio with us.
Yeah.
It's just hard to believe this technology. Love hearing from you. What's on your mind today?
Thank you so much. I brought up, really bondage. I mean, I just, through your ministry, I'm coming, freedom in Christ. I told you yesterday as well. I got a lot of Lord's questions about these gospels. Today, I got a question about anointing. So the former church, the pastors, they're doing anointing service every year or every 6 months. So Bible says the anointing is abiding in us, isn't it? So do we really need like anointing service or receiving anointing every 6 months or every 1 year?
You know, it's not biblical. You're not going to find a passage in Scripture that talks about that. I think we have to rest in the truth that once we come to Christ, we all are anointed. We've been given the Holy Spirit, and that's the anointing that lives in us. That's the mark that distinguishes us from the rest of the world and says that we're the people of God. John talks about that in his first letter. He says, I'm writing these things. to warn you about those who want to lead you astray, but you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you, so you don't need anyone to teach you what is true, for the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what he teaches is true. It's not a lie. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. Now, that's the New Living Translation, but in some other translation, it talks about you have the anointing of the Spirit of God living within you. He's your teacher. You can trust him to teach you. So to go and it's a little bit like rededicating your life. We've supposedly backslide. We feel like we've distanced from God, that we're dirty, and that we need to rededicate our lives. So we go up and say a prayer of rededication, and then 6 months later we have to do it again, and then 6 months later we have to do it again. Well, that cycle is a part of not really resting in truth, not walking in the truth of what Jesus Christ has done for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. So I think your question on anointing, do we have to go get re-anointed, every 6 months? I think that is the same type thing.
Yeah, but just want to, I understood that. So we just want to find out. So lots of people in my area, they're doing that. The people are going and get, and then they, the pastors are praying, then they are falling down. So what is all about? So how they doing? Is that real spiritual things? Or I don't understand really.
Well, I don't understand it either, Saab. I think it's just we're more interested in the spectacular than we are in truth. And there's something intriguing, there's something fascinating about that, the look of supernatural things happening within our midst. I think the most supernatural thing that we can experience is walking in truth, resting in truth, experiencing what Christ has done for us by faith. That's a supernatural reality, but we kind of focus on the spectacular. It's a show in many cases to that leaders can say, look what God is doing in our midst with all of these spectacular things. And sometimes folks, seem to lean toward that sort of stuff. But I think what the Word of God has to say to us is just walk in truth.
Yeah. One of the reasons why some organizations will do this sort of thing every quarter or every 6 months or once a year is because they've come to rely on the external spectacular thing. And if it hasn't happened recently, then I begin to doubt my own salvation. I begin to doubt the reality of Christ in me.
It's like a security blanket, yes. Isn't it?
It's just not necessary.
Yeah, but I came with that kind of church background, so I come out from that. So I'm really my burden is I just want to go and speak to them, and then I need to tell them the gospel, because they don't believe they have the anointing inside of them. So that's why they're going, and when pastor, leader called, oh, come and get the anointing, everybody running. So I'm feeling now, why they're going? Because they don't believe what they got inside of them, isn't it? So I'm starting telling them, is that good to tell them, you don't need to get anointing and like that?
Well, certainly. It's certainly good to point people to truth. But just point them to truth and then leave the results of that in God's hands. And recognize that when you address these things that you're attacking, they're going to perceive you attacking their security, the thing that makes them comfortable with their relationship with Christ. So I think if you recognize that, then you can speak to them and say, here's where I found comfort. Here's where my security lies. Not in these spectacular things. That's where it used to lie at one point. But now I'm centered in the gospel. the fact that Christ took away my sins, the fact that he gave me new life, the fact that he has promised to never leave me nor forsake me, that's the truth that anchors me, that secures me, that gives me the assurance that I need. And so I'm learning to grow in my faith. So I would approach it in that way, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, answer. Can I ask you one more question?
Okay, quickly.
Yeah. About the healing, I asked you about yesterday, but didn't have a time. The healing is just one of the gift of the God, healing power? Is it from the, like, one of the gift? Or could you explain to me about that? Healing power, some ministers, they're doing healing service and all that. Is that part of God's gift?
Well, healing, I mean, if there's going to be a healing, God is going to be the source of that, not us, that's for sure. What I would encourage you to do, Saab, is to read through the gospel accounts and look at all the miracles that Jesus performed, particularly the miracles of healing, and read the context. And what you're going to see is that all of those healings really pointed to a deeper spiritual truth. Those healings were to point people to the ultimate spiritual reality of new life in Christ. So they had more than just a purpose of healing somebody physically. I mean, you look and you see that there were 10 lepers that were cleansed and only one came back to say thank you. And it was only to that one that Jesus said, your faith has made you well. The other 10 got healed of their disease, but only one got healed totally and wholly through his faith in Jesus Christ. So read through those gospel accounts, and I think you will see healing in a different light, that's not the ultimate end, that those miracles pointed to deeper spiritual realities that we can all experience through faith in Christ.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so
thank you so much.
Hey, we always love hearing from
thank you.
For calling. Great questions, and I really appreciate you bringing them up, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you. God.
You are so welcome.
Take care.
Let's go to John in Elizabeth, New Jersey, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, John.
Thank you. Hi, guys.
Hey there.
God bless.
And you?
I was wondering if I could get remarried. I'm divorced, and I know some things of what the Bible says and what people have said, and it leans towards not in my favor. Now, most or all of the weight is on me because I was drinking and stressed out and like the angry person that you mentioned, to stay away from the angry man, and been divorced since officially 2003. But I was just, going back and forth for years since then, Christian-wise, if with God forgiving, would he forgive that, and would I be able to remarry?
Well, John, are you in Christ? Do you know that Jesus is Lord? Have you received his life?
I believe so.
Okay.
But the human element's always there, and the old nature and the devil, as we know, and our negative side of ourselves. That I'm not holy.
Well, you may not act holy, but your behavior may not always be holy in its quality.
Did for our sins and the Holy Spirit, and after this realm, it's either heaven or not. That's it. It's all about God, Alpha and the Omega, beginning and the end. And there's heaven and eternal, separation from God, from the new heaven and new earth.
Yeah, John, that's all true, but you can have assurance of salvation right here, right now. That's not something you have to wait and hope things, go in your favor. Jesus has already done all the work. Jesus died and took the punishment for your sins, every single one of them. That's why you can experience forgiveness today, because of what he did through his shed blood on the cross. And then he was buried and then raised back to life so that you could have eternal life. And that eternal life is being made alive together with Christ right now. It is being filled or indwelt by Jesus Christ himself through his Spirit. And if Jesus Christ's Spirit lives in you, then his Spirit is going to be testifying, bearing witness to your human spirit that you are a child of God, that you belong to God, that you are one of the people of God. That's the assurance that you can have right now. Richard, John wrote something very powerful in his first letter about assurance of salvation, in the fifth chapter.
Fifth chapter. The whole point of the indwelling Spirit is to communicate to us at every moment that we belong to Jesus, that we are saved, that we have eternal life. And, you know, you have to make a choice. Do I believe what the Spirit says or not?
Right. So, John, if you have the Son, you have life. And you've given testimony here on national radio that you have the Son. So if you have the Son, you have life. And if you have the Son, he's promised to never leave you nor forsake you. So you have life forever. That's good news, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's what you need to rejoice in. And that's really what you need to be focusing on. You were divorced in 2003. You've been wondering if it's okay to get remarried or not. What's God yep. going to think about that? Well, you have to keep looking to Christ and find out what he thinks about you. And what you're going to find out is that what he thinks about you is pretty cool. He loves you. He's declared you to be righteous. He sees you as holy and blameless in his sight, not because of anything that you've done or not done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done. And so if you will get a solid foundation underneath you and welling up inside of you as to what truth is, then you will be able to draw upon his wisdom on these situations of life. Now, as far as remarriage is concerned, I think Paul answers that in 1 Corinthians mm-hmm. 7 when he talks about marriage, and he says, for those who get remarried, basically, you're not sinning. I mean, you've been divorced a long time. If there's a new person that God leads into your life or brings into your life, and she's a believer and you're a believer and you start growing together in that faith, then, you know, marriage could be a part of your future. But you don't want to just get remarried because you can get remarried. You want
right.
to get remarried because it's the wise thing to do. You've recognized the issues that you've had. Found a solid anchor in Christ. You're standing on solid ground with him. You meet somebody, develop a friendship. That friendship is centered on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then you just trust the Lord to lead you at that point.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, but the first thing, John, you've got to let the Spirit lead you out of the guilt you feel for the bad days and into an assurance that you are a forgiven person and that you can move forward being led by the Spirit of God. Don't try to get into a new relationship out of guilt or to avoid guilt or any of that, because that's all inward focused and you'll just crash and burn. Let mm-hmm. the Spirit convince you of your forgiveness and your excellent standing, permanent excellent standing with God, and then the relationships will take care of themselves.
Yes, indeed. Well, John, let me do this for you. We have some great resources. I want to put those into your hands, And I think they will help you immensely in your walk with Christ Jesus and really getting a solid foundation. So let me put you on hold, and we'll send you that information, okay? Thanks for your call today. God bless.
Thank you, God.
This is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. Open lines right now. Some time remaining on the clock. That toll-free number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go quickly to Rachel in Eugene, Oregon. Rachel, you're on the air.
Hello.
Welcome.
Yes, I heard you quote earlier from the Living Translation Bible, and I'm wondering why you would use any Bible translation other than the Authorized King James Bible, since there are no copyright laws on that Bible. God said, freely give, freely receive. And so it can be used anytime, any place, and you don't have to pay anybody because God is the author. And so
was not the author, Rachel. You're presenting a lie. God was not the author of the King James Version.
He's the author of the Bible.
The Bible, and the King James Version is a translation of the Bible, and you have to recognize that is truth. Any Bible that we have in the English language is a translation. The King James Version was a translation. It wasn't the first English translation.
No.
There were other English translations that, quite frankly, at the time, were better than the King James Version. But this was authorized by the King of England. King James said, we're going to have our own authorized version. And it was a political move on his part so that he could be more powerful than the Pope. That was the whole issue. So there wasn't a lot of spiritual compulsion behind that decision. It was more political in nature. Is the King James Version good? Absolutely. It's a wonderful, wonderful Bible. But there are other translations as well. And I think the translators of the King James Version from way back when would look forward to our day and say, man, y'all have so much at your disposal.
Yes.
Rejoice. Take a look at every single one and let those translations give you a bigger picture of what the words actually mean and say. I've done that in my own life. I use about 6 or 7 different translations. And looking at all of them, they really fill out the picture of what those passages mean.
Yeah, they do. It's so wonderful to be able to look at these translations and realize that they all have their strengths and they all have their weaknesses, but the Spirit explains every bit of it to us.
Absolutely, and that's the key point, Richard.
Yes.
We can look at these translations, but if we're going to know the meaning, if we're going to know how all of this relates to Jesus and our faith in Jesus, it's the Spirit that's going to reveal that to us. Apart from the Spirit revealing the meaning, these Bibles can just be words on pages.
Yeah.
Well, we're just about out of time, guys, and another interesting edition of Basic Gospel. And friends, we hope you benefited by listening and hope you'll be with us again tomorrow for another edition. In the meantime, if you like what you hear on this broadcast each day, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. That's at Basic Gospel RDO. I want to remind you also that there are many valuable resources available to you in our online store, and you'll find it at store.basicgospel.net. And we invite you to go online to basicgospel.net and click subscribe to join our email list. Also, we're into November now, with Thanksgiving exactly 3 weeks away from today, and Basic Gospel needs your help now, as always, to keep the good news of the love, grace, and life of the Lord Jesus Christ on the air each weekday. Many of you have called, emailed, or written to us saying that the Lord is working through this ministry to make a difference. And that, of course, is why we are here every day. And that's why we need your support. I hope you'll help today with a generous gift to Basic Gospel. You'll find a support link in the header at basicgospel.net. Or you can speak with our operator at The numbers are always going to trip me, I guess, until we get used to them. 844-41-BASIC. That's 844-41-BASIC. We hope to hear from you today. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.